hear anymore. Teach me to listen, and I don't wanna see anymore. Give me a vision that you could move this heart to be set apart. I don't need to recognize the man in the mirror, and I don't wanna change your plan for something familiar. I can't waste a day, I can't stay the same. I wanna be different, I wanna be changed, till all of me is gone, and all that remains is a fire so bright the whole world can see that there's something different. So come and be different in me. And I don't want to spend my life stuck in a pattern, and I don't want to gain this world but lose what matters. And so I'm giving up everything because I want to be different, I want to be changed, till all of me is gone, and all that remains is a fire so bright the whole world can see that there's something different. So come and be different.
I know that I am far from perfect, but through you the cross still says I'm worth it. So take this beating in my heart and come finish what you started. When they see me, let them see you.
I wanna be different, I wanna be changed, till all of me is gone, and all that remains is a fire so bright the whole world can see that there's something different. So come and be different, that there's something different. So come and be different in me.
So I'll stay in. Appreciate the fellowship this weekend. Had the opportunity to go to the men's camp, and what a wonderful time, and just enjoyed it. I went there a year ago from last year, and it changed my life, and it took away all those things what Brother Wade gets to preach to me about me. But temperance was one of the things that really was a problem. But thank you, Lord. That works from the inside out. Amen. How about a little Hosanna? Let's shout a minute. Amen. See. Hosanna. Blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna. Blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, for he is worthy to be praised. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, for he is worthy to be praised. Hosanna, blessed be the rock.
Blessed be the rock of my salvation, Hosanna. Blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Glory, glory to his name. He lives and reigns forevermore. Glory, glory to his name. He lives and reigns forevermore. Hosanna. Blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna. Blessed be the rock. Blessed. Let's let them play right here. Just listen to them. Clap your hands with me. Salvation, Hosanna. Blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh is his name. For he provideth all my need. Jehovah Jireh is his name. For he provided all my needs. Let's get Brother Wade on out here. Hosanna. Blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna. Blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation.
Blessed be the rock of my salvation, Hosanna. Blessed be the rock. Blessed be the rock of my salvation. Amen. Blessed be the rock of your salvation. Amen. Let's give him a good hand clap of praise tonight. Man, good to be back in the house of the Lord. Good to be back in the state of Georgia. Nothing against Ohio, but good to be back in the state of Georgia. Amen. Good to see each and every one of you here. Good to be in the house of the Lord in the middle of the week. Amen. I hadn't had a chance to listen to this weekend service, but we'll get it online so we can watch it and see how they did. Thank you. I'm glad somebody said wonderful. I was hoping for somebody to say something. Wonderful. Thank you all for taking over. Brother Aaron doing singing and all that. That's really good. So I appreciate that. We had a good time in Ohio. They said thank you and God bless you for the prayers for them. And they're moving on with the Lord. And we got to take communion and foot washing and kind of rededicate the place that they were at. They're at now. So we appreciate them. We love them with the love of the Lord. It is a long way up there, though. That airplane's not very long, but boy, about 11 hours of driving is tough. Make your eyes cross when you get about halfway down here. But we broke it up a little bit. We got to see Brother Richard and Sister Janice Wilson, have lunch with them and fellowship for a couple of hours with them. And then we took on off and visited some friends of ours that we had not seen for a long, long time. Since about 1995, they used to be our neighbors, so we got a chance to spend some time with them. So it was all good. Everything was good. All right, Saturday we will have Bible study between 6 and 8 o'clock, as usual. Communion will be Sunday. Brother Aaron will be speaking next Wednesday, Lord willing. Also remember, on October the 9th, Brother Samuel Najera from Beaufort, South Carolina, will be with us. His children have been here. He's been here, but he's going to minister for us. Him and Brother Luis actually will be doing the ministering, so because he'll be speaking in Spanish. But we'll have him with us on October the 9th. And now on October the 16th, I've been thinking about this. It seems like I get in trouble when I write things down. But boo devil. But on October the 16th, at second service, October the 16th, that'll be 3 weeks, second service, we're going to have questions and answers for singles and youth. Donnie, you're out. But for singles and youth, all right, that'll be the second service on October 16th. So if you have any questions, forward them to me or give them to one of the deacons, Brother Terrence, Brother Bob, or one of the ministers, and then they can pass them in to me. Now, don't do it on that day. You can if you wish, but kind of give us a little bit of time to study some. But it's been on my heart for a little while. We used to do it with the youth when we had the youth service, but it kind of extended, made everything longer, and we couldn't fellowship a lot. So we're going to do that as a church for singles and for the youth. If you have a question that you need to ask that's been on your heart between now and then, the Lord should give you something. Lord give you something to ask, but it'll be the second service, the whole service. We'll take up on questions and answers just for the youth and just for singles. Everybody with me? All right. Nyla, that's you. Unless something happens miraculous in the next 3 weeks. Trudy just fell. But it's been on my heart to do that. So when we were praying the other night, and that came on my heart also to let the youth have a voice, to let them ask some questions, and even the singles. Poor old Zach and Lily will be married by then, so they won't get to ask anything. But if you have a question, please bring it forward and give it to us. And also remember, by way of just letting you know, remember to, everybody's done the RSVP if you go into the wedding, all right, which is on November the 6th. At 4 o'clock, we'll only have one service here, and then we'll go to the wedding. And then also the church dinner. We always have one at Thanksgiving, and it's not catered. So all of us will be cooking for that. We'll be on November 13th. November 13th. We'll only have one service, November 13th. And that's not too far away. Where did September go? Gone. You know, when you say, even some come quickly, Lord Jesus, he's helping us. Yeah. Right? He's helping us. Because this thing is going fast. I mean, like, really fast. But you know, thank God, I'd hate for it to be lengthened the other way in this world that we live in. Goodness gracious. You got that right. You ain't kidding. So let's turn our Bibles. We'll get this thing fired up here. To John. And tonight I want to bring a little... I want to bring it a little bit of an angle. I've been praying about this one thing, and it's called a showdown. There's going to be a showdown. But there's going to be a showdown when we start up that statue of perfect man. Because there's going to be a separation. Some will fall off. Some will not make it. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. Some will, some won't. You just got to decide whether you want to or not. Amen? So it's your decision if you want to make it or not. God has given us all the provisions. He has not, I was thinking about this the other day. God, you know, we go to work and somebody was saying something the other day about, you know, getting mistreated at work. Well, I mean, we all do. We all think we get mistreated. But kids think you get mistreated by the parents. The parents think you get mistreated by the grandparents. You know, you just keep going up the line. Everybody gets mistreated by everybody. And listen, when we were born, listen, we're the one of the most selfish things on the earth is a human being. Yeah. Think about it. We're the most selfish people in the world. But when we get up to that brotherly kindness, that's going to have to shed off. That's going to have to shed off. It's not whether you like me and I don't like you, or whether you said something good and I like you and I'm in your camp today, but tomorrow I'll be in another camp because you said something to hurt my feelings. No, that's not what brotherly kindness is. Not that kind of brotherly kindness. So there's going to be a showdown, and we'll listen to what Brother Branham has to say about showdown, because there's going to be one. There was one in Elijah's time, there was one in Jesus' time, and there's going to be one in the end time. There's going to be a showdown. So we're going to go through this, and this would be part 61, and I hope and pray that we continue on the service we had a couple of weeks ago. I know that sometimes that was an anomaly, but I enjoyed it. But you just think about it. You think about that atmosphere we were under a couple of Sundays ago. Because, see, it ebbs and flows. And that's just the way it is. It's just like this. Our whole life is, you know, just like this. But when we get into eternity, Sister Anna, that's going to be for an eternity. There'll be no, I'm tired, we got to close the service. No, it'll be just continuously like that. So if you didn't like it 2 weeks ago, you ain't going to like it in eternity. And you probably ain't going to be there. We got to get used to it here. Let it out. I'll even read you a quote where Brother Ram almost says that. Let it out. Whatever you got, let it out. So let's bow our heads. I know we all have needs. We remember the ones in Florida. Some of the believers down there riding it out. So we know the master of the wind. Amen. Remember Sister Brenda Lewis, she wrote that song, "It'll Take a Stronger Wind Than This." She wrote it in the middle of a hurricane. Amen? So in your troubles today, in the middle of your hurricane, you remember, it'll take a stronger wind than that to knock a Christian off. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this evening you've given us. Thank you for the people you have here, Lord, assembled together. Lord, may we all be now in one mind and one accord. May we lose all the thoughts of the world and the things that we need to do and we got to do and forgot to do. Lord, may we just listen to you just for a few minutes, Lord. I know there's many needs, Father, many sicknesses among us, Lord. I pray that you'd just be with them, Lord, and comfort them. Be with the ones that are traveling. Sister Barbara said she's traveling out, so be with her, Lord. Be with the ones in Florida, Lord. Even be with the ones, the linemen, and all the ones that are doing the work. Lord, that you'll keep them safe, Lord. No trees will fall on them or get electrocuted, because it's a real trying time when you have to put those wires back up. So we pray for them also, Lord. Father, they're human beings. Doesn't matter if they're bright or not. They're human beings. And we pray for the human beings that are there, Lord, that you'll comfort them, Lord. Give them strength, Father. And that you'll bless the little bride also that's there, Lord. I know what they're doing. They're talking to you. And I pray now that you'll just be with us in this service. Speak to us today. Forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me read you this quote Brother Branham says in Statue of Perfect Man. Said, now that is the house that God dwells in. That's what we're coming to. We've come to the place to where leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, we should be able to leave the principles of being born again. I hope that we understand that being born again is a journey. All right, it's not an abrupt end. It's a journey. It's a journey to get born again, but once you get born again, Brother Brown said, you just begin to start right there. That begins your Christian journey. All right? And if you're in justification, you're in sanctification, and you realize that, then thank God you realize that. Amen. Not that I just got it all and I'm gonna lay down in the roses. Well, you lay down, well, roses, you'd be in bad shape. Lay down in the lilies and just lay back in the field. Well, there's probably a fire ant bed laying underneath you. Called the devil. But now this is the house that God dwells in. Not a building with a big bell on top of it and a high steeple, but a body has thou prepared me. A body that God can dwell in. Look, God can walk in. God can see in. God can talk in. God can work in. Amen. Living instrumentality of God. God walking on 2 feet in you. Glory. The footsteps of the righteous is ordered of God. God walking in you, for you are written epistles, read of all men. And if the life that's in Christ be in you, you'll bear the life that Christ bore. Now, what is the life of Christ? Right there. That statue of perfect man. That is the life of Jesus Christ. That is what he lived. And listen, that's what he portrayed. He didn't just live it. He portrayed it in his everyday walk. But you got to remember, like I said before, he was so misunderstood, they called him a wine bibber. They said he hung around sinners and prostitutes. They said he was Beelzebub. He was a king of the devils. No, he was this right here. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You may be seated. Lord, I have blessing of the reading of the Word. Think about this. God that created the air had to one day suck that air in his lungs and start screaming, "Ow!" And he was a baby. He decided to do that. He decided to come down to where you and he, that funnel came down to humanity, to where you and I could what? We can live like he lived. All right? Amen? Is everybody all right with that? All right, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 4 says that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel. I was thinking yesterday, you know, you, like I said before, you've got that faction over here that says, well, if anything is dead ought to be buried. You got the faction over here that says, well, we need all teaching, but there's got to be a middle of the road. There's got to be some emotion. When you sisters had babies, there was an emotion. All right, and you remembered when you had that child. Amen. So that we remember now, look, every one of you should know when you go to school and you learn and you go through 12 grades and you get a diploma, 12 grades, get a diploma, right? You have what? You've accomplished what man says you need for that time and period of your life. But now that doesn't make you super intelligent. That doesn't make you a doctor instantly. That doesn't make you a teacher instantly. That doesn't make you the best human being that ever lived. No, you got a part of your journey finished. All right, so when we come to this, we're going to see that we come to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and we leave that. We don't leave it alone. We leave it because it becomes part of us, and then we walk on. That diploma that you got at high school, it's followed you for the rest of your life, whether you know it or not. You've used it sometime in your life. You've used what was behind that diploma, what some teacher taught you. Are you getting the spiritual part of this? Amen? Because there's a spiritual part of this. It's the teaching that we have. We love teaching. We are built for teaching. We love to hear good teaching. All right? But what we're going to do with that teaching, it's going to have to take us to a body change, or either we just sat here and wasted our time. I'm sorry, that's what I'm telling you, it's going to be a showdown. You say, well, listen, the Bible says more is received, more is required. So the more we have, it's required. God's looking at us saying, hey, come on, you got it. What are you going to do with it? Because there's a lot of places. Go out to the internet and listen. I'm sorry. I'm like Brother Branham, you know, I don't ever want to be critical. But Brother Branham had a critical spirit one time. Does everybody know that? Put it in your computer and put in critical. He said, God forgive me for this critical spirit that I have. Because he was criticizing everybody. Even Brother Brown came to a place where he called them Ricky's and Ricketta's. And what'd God say? He said, don't do that no more. Those are my kids. Those are my children. Amen. So we got to be able to put this out there. And I was telling him in Ohio, it's got to be able. God's a master surgeon. He can cut you and you don't even know it. But now I promise you, we've been in some services where they fire up a chainsaw. It ain't pretty when a chainsaw goes to cutting flesh. There's blood on the wall, blood on the floor, guts all over the place. That's not what we want. That's what the devil will do to you if you'll let him. But I want to go to the master surgeon. I want to go to where they cut this thing out of me, cut all this out of me. And listen, me not even know it at the moment, but have an aha moment and say, hey, that thing's gone. Hey, that thing's, it left me. That's what I want us to experience. I want every one of you to say, all right, this is where I begin. This is my attitude. This is my altitude. And this is where I began. Now what am I going to do 3 months later, 6 months later, if we're here that long, a year later? What are we going to do from here to there? If you stay the same, then listen, God moves on. Right? God is a mover. He is not. He doesn't go backwards. We're the only ones that backslide. God don't backslide. Now he'll go back and get you. Thank God. But he's not going to go back and stay. He's going to bring you up. But that every one of you should know how to possess his what? His vessel. Right. That's not your car. That's not. It's not a vessel like a car or a house. That's the vessel you walk around in every day. That's the vessel that the world sees. And I was saying a couple of Sundays ago, listen, God is depending on me and you to get this thing finished. He's done his part. He's given us the Holy Ghost. He's given us the Word of God. He's given us everything we need. And now he's given us a chance to walk up that statue of perfect man. I say walk up, yes. Let's don't run up. Come on. Let's walk up. Brother Brown said, you want to jump way up here? You want to jump? Everybody wants to be in the Son of Man ministry when they don't even have the Son of God ministry down yet. To having all these virtues working as it was working with the disciples in the early days. So that's what I want us to come back to, that disciple of the early days, to where the little nod from God, the prophet said, there was a little tug at their heart and they went and did what they were going to do. They would preach and the Holy Ghost would just fall on people. You say, no, I got to have it. They didn't back there, so they're not going to have it now. While the word was being preached, the Holy Ghost fell on the people, and they got born again just by the word being preached, all right? And it wasn't a Father, Son, Holy Ghost, or two soul, or some denominational idea. It was the word of God. And they said, that ain't nothing but the truth. And God fell down in their heart, birthed them, and they started on their journey. So every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. It's not my obligation. Well, actually, standing where I'm at today, it is my obligation to make sure Donnie gets there, but it's Donnie's obligation to get there. Amen? We can't pull you through this thing. Remember, God's not going to pull you through a tube. You got to make a choice, and you got to be able to what? Move with God. As he moves, we move. All right? But be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How many times have I read that? But how many times have we studied it? We're going to go on up when we talk about virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience. It's not what the world thinks about virtue. It's not what the world thinks about knowledge. It's not what the world thinks about temperance and patience and all these things. It's what you think. It was what was supposed to be done through you. All right? Brotherly kindness. Oh, yeah, we love our brother. Well, we'll get to that. That's one of the roughest ones. It's way up there right before the capstone. It's there for a purpose. All right? Where you love them if they love them, love them if they hate you. Don't just tolerate them. That's the difference. But be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, because like I said before, and I want to stop on this just for a minute. You remember when you grew up and when you were raising your kids, we are, as human beings, we were born with a selfish nature. That's mine. Play with this toy, that's fine. As long as I play with this toy, I'm good. But don't you come over here and take it from me. All right? We're born with a selfish nature. This, give it to me. It's mine. This is mine. Especially in Laodicea. Oh, my Lord, give me my rights. I got my rights. I was talking to Brother Chris Long yesterday, and he said to tell you how, by the way. We was talking about this new gender reveal thing, or gender thing is going on, you know. They can choose who they want and choose what they want, gender they want. He said, as a guy told Brother Chris, he said, I'm going to a gender reveal party. And Brother Chris said, do you not know what gender you are? They ought to do away with those gender reveal parties. Because according to the world, they get to choose when they get here what they are. You see how this world's perverted? God made a man, and a woman. He made that for a reason. Amen? That you be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because, listen, the mind of this world has gone crazy. The mind of this world will not think like you. The mind of this world will be absolutely contrary to you. That's why I said, well, there's a showdown coming. Listen, there was a long time that Baal and that the prophets of Baal, they existed with Jezebel. Then all of a sudden, Elijah steps on the scene, and there's a different story being told. There was a showdown. All right? But see, that didn't bother them because Baal just continued. It went on to Moloch and all the different ones all the way up to Jesus' time. So it didn't do anything to the people. The devil just kept going on and kept changing his mind and doing different things, but God never changes his mind. So by the renewing of our mind, that what? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The only time the word of God is going to be proven is through me and you. You can't prove it any other way. How are you going to prove it? Well, I'll show you right here. I got a quote. The world don't care about a quote. They care about you. Right. Amen? We care about quotes because it builds our character. It builds our faith. But the world doesn't care about a quote. Don't give me a quote. Give me a life. 2 Peter 1 says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have what? Obtained. How many times have we read this? But I want you to look at this. We have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According to his divine power. The only way, that's why I stress so much about the new birth, the only way you're going to get a divine power that renews your mind and gets you to thinking different is when you get the Holy Ghost. And that's not an anointing on your flesh. That's the new birth, the burning out of what's inside of you. As we've been talking about the future home, God burns out all that old nature, that all that old you is burnt completely out. Amen? And it's the Holy Ghost and fire that does it. We'll talk about that in just a minute. According as his divine power has given unto what? Us. All things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Listen, before we even get up this statue of perfect man, you ought to know you're blessed. You ought to know that you get the promises of God. You ought to know that you ought to be living above the world.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
That by these you might be what? Partakers. Then you're partakers of a divine nature. After you get born again, after you receive this renewing of your mind, you might be partakers of the divine nature. What's the divine nature? It's the statue of a perfect man. That's why it's so important. Because listen, like I'll read to you in just a little while. Brother Brown says these gifts that God give us are a stumbling block if you don't have the virtues. He ran up against a crowd of people in the Pentecostal time way when he was a young guy. And there was one would stand up and speak in tongues and the other one would interpret. They shout, scream, praise God. And Brother Branham with his little gift, you know, he pulled that gift out and he says, all right, well, this one's good. And this one's committing adultery. Same congregation. Amen? So what was it? This one had a real experience with God. This one just had it on his flesh. All right? But you have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So the first stage has got to be the birth. I'm going to read this one more time. Now that's what the way it is, trying to manufacture Christianity. You can't do it. Listen, if you're not born again, you are manufacturing Christianity at the point we are right now. Now I know you say, well, now, Brother Wayne, what if I'm justified or sanctified? You're still not finished yet. You're still not finished. You're just foolish virgin material at that point in time. Is everybody with me on that? Maybe this will be a showdown. I want it to be a showdown. I don't want us to soft soap it and say, well, I come to church every once in a while and I believe the message and I don't cut my hand or don't do this and don't do that. And I'm trying. That's fine. Keep trying. But you got to come to a place that you get a birth. Because that birth is what's going to put you in that first resurrection. It's going to put you in the rapture. That second birth is not. Or the second resurrection. If you get a second resurrection, it's going to be way down the road sometime. And that means you didn't get your birth over on this side. All right? Because remember, when we get born again, it does renew our mind. You know what it does? It brings eternity into a time vessel. Think about that. It brings an eternity. It brings a theophany. It brings an eternal God. That Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Brings it into this dimension. Puts it inside of you. And it locks itself in and it can't get out. Except you show what's inside of you. And that's what's going to happen. We are going to show what's inside of us. Good or bad. Alright? We were discussing up there this weekend about the foolish virgin. Remember, the foolish virgin is not bride. Never will be bride. It never was bride. Amen? But they are virgins. They heard the call. They wanted oil. And they even knew what congregation to go get it at. Give us of your oil. Five wise virgins. Well, who's the five wise virgins? The bride. Is there bride out there? I don't know. I know there's bride in here. I know there's bride in this message. I know what Brother Brown said. Now I call you bride, not church. He separated them. Showdown. There was a showdown one day, and Brother Brown said, I call you bride. I don't call you church anymore. So the church goes through the tribulation. The bride does not. There was a showdown. Every time there was a showdown in Brother Brown's life, there was a separation. Amen? There was a separation. He said, I indict this generation. Thousands left him. He come to marriage and divorce, and he said, go on as you are. Don't do it again. You've been forgiven. Another separation. He starts preaching the seals. It had never been preached before, and the people are sitting there with their heads spinning. Another separation. What? It was a showdown. It was a showdown on those seals where Satan had been hiding in religion. He had been hiding in the message. And there was a showdown, and that showdown was when the seals were open, that Satan couldn't stand it anymore, so he took off. He exposed himself. He went riding. That's what I want to do. I want him to be exposed, not hide. With a showdown, Elijah said, let God be God. You call on yours, I'll call on mine. That's what we're coming to, folks, is a separation. Not manufacture Christianity. You can't do it. The first thing you've got to do is be born again. You've got to be what? Changed. And when you are changed, you become a new creation. Now you're getting right now. He said, now you're getting right. He didn't say you're already completely right. Remember, you're just getting started. Now you don't have to worry about the feathers. It'll take care of itself. He's talking about peacock feathers shoved into a buzzard or a crow. When you are born again, yes, sir, like I've always said, you take a hog, scrub him up, put a sailor suit on him, or tuxedo rather, and turn him out there. He goes right to the mud hole and wallows. That's what's wrong with me and you. That's why we see people come in the building. They get a good, maybe a case of justification and sanctification, but that nature is going to pop its head up. It does not matter what you do. The Word of God will not, you can't hide behind the Word of God. You can hide behind error. But you can't hide behind the pure Word of God. That's why in the pure Word of God's preached, the head pops up. And you get exposed. That's what it is with a hog. You look, say, well, it looks pretty. Well, let him go. He's going right back to the mud. Because that's his nature. Wallowing is his nature. You've got to change his nature. And look, and the rest of it will take care of itself. Change his nature. Put a lamb nature in him. He'll never go to that wallow again. Right. Why? What inside of him don't want to go there anymore. Everybody with me? Yeah. All right? Now notice you must be born again. That is change. There's got to be a change. Folks, I want you to realize your change. Everybody wants to get to the change of the body. That's fine. That's the culmination. But if you don't get changed now, you're not going to get changed there. You got to get changed from the inside first. Amen. Your body change started on the day you got the Holy Ghost. Amen. Everybody with me on that? Because even if you have to go by the grave, if you're born again, you're coming up. That body's going to be made eternal. It's going to be glorified. And we're going into heaven or into that other dimension. You say, well, Brother Branham, I know this certain woman over here. Why? She never did anything wrong. She's a good woman. Or this such a man, he's a good man. He never does anything. You know he doesn't harm anybody. That doesn't mean one thing. He might make a good neighbor, but he isn't a Christian until he's born again. I hope that sinks in. Amen. He isn't a Christian. I'm going to make the... Is that big enough for y'all to see? Can you see that? You see that in the back? See? Can y'all see that? Okay. I don't want to be like Bob where we have to squint and see what's going on. I do want to be like Bob. I just don't want to be that way like Bob. Bob's a good man. He's got a good heart. Sometimes I wish I had a softer heart like him, but I just made the way I am. Jesus said, except a man be born again. Look, he can't even what? See the kingdom. That's why you have divisions now. That's why you have false doctrine now. Because listen, the Holy Ghost is not a false doctrine. It will not tolerate a false doctrine to a degree. Now, listen, you cannot know something for a little while. But if you keep digging and you keep plowing and you keep listening, you keep studying, like Brother Richard up in Ohio, the dad of all that silly group, in 2015, he said, God, I've had enough of this. False doctrine or something inside of me is just not ringing right. How many have ever done that? Amen? Something, you know what he done? He said, God, show me the truth. In other words, you're obligated, Lord. If I need it and if I want the truth, you're obligated. Well, end of the story. He pulls up Brother Dale and he's been listening to him ever since. Amen. They've been back listening now. They're listening to the seals. They're listening to all the back sermons that we've preached in here, and they're really having a good time studying it real good. Except a man be born again, he cannot even see the kingdom. That means see means understand. You look at anything, say, I just don't see it. You mean you don't understand it. And it's okay not to understand. I told him the story, and I know Luis is standing back there looking like a picture back there in the window. But Brother Luis will tell you, when he first came here, it was hard for him to sit and listen. Right? He's got his thumb up. Because it is hard when you come from this place over to this place, and you listen to some good teaching. But you got to stay here. You got to listen. You got to grind it out. I mean, if you want to come here and just have a shouting good time, you probably need to go somewhere else. We do have them. But the teaching, it places us. I want to be settled. I want somebody that I know when the spirit does fall, I know how to act instead of sitting there like this. I know how to act. The Holy Ghost inside of me knows how to act. But I don't want to act up. Because the devil can act up. I don't want the devil to act. I don't want that to happen to me. But I want to be able to understand. Brother Luis said, I sat there 3 months, 4 months, 5 months. And he said, I really didn't understand, Brother Dale. I didn't understand. It might have been getting a little bit discouraged. But all of a sudden, praise God, he stayed. He endured. Those who endure to the end shall be saved. Listen, this is not a picnic. This is not a cruise ship. This is a battleship. It's a war. Everything's a war. You walk in that door, it's a war. Satan does not want you to know the word of God. He does not want you to live right. He definitely don't want you to come to church. Let's quit yielding to that. But it says you mean you don't understand it. That's okay not to understand. But if you sit there long enough, you sit there long enough. Endure to the end. Endure those 2 hour, hour and a half where you really don't understand a lot that's going on. But if you stay there and just keep plowing, just keep plowing. How many have seen that? I mean, how many have seen too, though, some come in, think they need to have this. And that's okay because he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. I believe Brother Luis will tell you, he's standing back there now. He did tell me one time that he didn't know if he had the Holy Ghost, but he knows he's got it now. By the teaching of the Word of God, that he got the Holy Ghost by sitting under a ministry. Not that we had to lay hands on him and slap him and run him up and down the aisle. Brother Dale preached the Word of God. Day in, day out, day in, day out. And I'm getting like him. I'm backgrounding. He used to background for an hour and preach for 30 minutes. That's fine. Because we didn't get it all. Listen, he's not backgrounding for himself. I'll promise you that. Right. Somebody say amen. Amen. Okay. But now God's got a call for us in this end time. Not to just stay the way we are. Not to just do like they did in the middle of church ages. Just give you life for the gospel. Had a very short lifespan in your Christianity. If you were a Christian in the fourth church age, you said Christian, you died the next day. All right. This is the longevity. This is the part that's going to be the long part that we've got to what? March. We've got to keep going. Right. Please keep going. Don't stop. Right. The devil would love for you to stop. Right. But therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into what? Perfection. Completion. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Of the doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Look, and this will we do if God permit. And he has permitted by one way. There's only one way he has permitted this, and it's Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. What? For the perfecting of the saints. Look, for not for the perfecting of the world. Not for the perfecting of the justified. You're not perfected until you're born again. So this is talking about teachers and preachers and evangelists and pastors and prophets that are preaching to people that are being perfected, the saints that are being perfected. I know there's one thing for sure. There are babies born now. Amen? There's babies that are born. That's okay. But you can't stay babies, though. The Bible tells us, I was reading it the other day, where the Lord tells us that there's a former and a latter rain, and it's going to fall in the same month. There's going to be a short work. All of you that are babies. You have the ability to what? Come from milk to meat real quick. Some of us, it took a long time. Okay, some of you are honest, some of you are not. At least you know that. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the what? The work of the ministry. For the edifying of what? The whole body, not just one person. The whole body is going to be edified. We're all going to what? Benefit from this apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, and evangelist way that God has done it to get his word to the people. Till we all come to the what? Unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. That's the stature right there we're looking at. Unto what? The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Look, that we henceforth be no more children. Tossed to and fro. Carried about with every wind of doctrine. By what? By the sleight of preachers. False preachers. By the sleight of false preachers and cunning craftiness. That devil, he's cunning. He's crafty. Whereby, look, they lie in wait to deceive. Paul was telling us they're going to be there to deceive you. Paul said grievous wolves are coming and are already among you back in the first church age. But speaking the truth in love may what? Grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. We were talking about this a little bit this weekend. Everything has to be fit together because, look, folks, if there's one little hole, if there's one little tiny hole, the devil's going to stick his finger in it. He'll disrupt, he'll cancer that whole thing if you'll let him stick your finger in it. So we need to cut it off. Compact. Compact it together. What? Wednesday night, Sunday night, prayer meeting, prayer service, praying in your closet, talking about the Word of God. What is he doing? I promise you one thing. The devil didn't make you do that. Right. And compacted by that which what? Every joint supplies. Man, what if you didn't have your joints? Could you imagine not having a joint in your body? You'd be just a statue. You wouldn't be able to do this. This, move your fingers, you'd be no have no joint. But listen, we have joints, and we are going. He's going to supply every joint. Sometimes I wish he'd supply this, get this arthritis out of all these joints, and the old people said, amen. Man, I tell you what, you get that burning sensation, and it ain't nice. No, that's right. According to the effectual working in the measure of what? Every part. Deacons, elders. People in the church service, people studying, people praying. And what? Maketh increase of the body. That's us, the body. The body's not me. The body's all of us. All right? Unto the what? Edifying of itself in love. You don't edify from the world. You don't edify from that body that's out there. Because Satan's got a body too. He's got a body out there just like God's got a body in here. Hidden life in Christ. Now watch. Talking about the high priest entering in. Congregation followed him up. When he went in his great place, the veil dropped. The Holy of Holies. What a beautiful picture it is today of the consecrated life who once enters into with Christ dead to the things of the world. Hid away with God. And the veils dropped down around and all the world shut off. Now there's the renewing of your mind. Then Christianity and religion become a pleasure to every believer. A pleasure. To every believer. Listen. It's a paradox almost. You say, well, it is easy to be a believer. But you got to struggle. Like I said before, it's a battle. It's not a picnic. All right? but it becomes a pleasure to every believer. What in the world could this world give us, even longevity of life, even if they had a pill to take away arthritis? Lord, please bring it. But the young kids are going, what's he talking about? Don't worry. I hope you don't get big enough or old enough to realize it. I promise you that. I hope the Lord's done took us all to the house. Amen? But becomes a pleasure to every believer. Today, people just get enough religion to make them miserable. Knowing they ought to do this, they're trying to escape hell. I hope you're not trying to escape hell tonight. Well, if that's the way I felt about it, brother, I don't know what I'd do. So now let's look and make sure we understand. We're in the dispensation now of the Son of God. Is that right? Say amen. Seven church ages. In time, that's where the Son of God revelation is going to be made known. And then we go. Then when we get through with the virtues. Now, what are the virtues? The virtues are that second stage of sanctification where it's not just clean and set aside for service before you're born again. It's cleaned and set aside where Paul says, I die daily. Because we have trash. Sister Shepherd had trash still inside of her. Sticks. Remember old dead sticks? We talked, preached on old dead sticks. But God's going to take those dead sticks and make you live. He's going to give you life. One more time, folks. There's nothing in the world. No drug. No nothing. There's nothing eternal down here. Oh, I want to have pleasure in this world for a season. Moses could have done that himself, but Moses, even without the Holy Ghost, even without the new birth, Moses said, I don't want that. Give me those 2 million rebels and 40 years in the wilderness. I'll take that over that any day. That's what you got to see. Why? But that's a renewing your mind. That's why people around us think we're crazy. Why do you have to do this? Why do you... Well, we go to church when we need to. Yeah, it's exactly right. We don't have to, some said, well, y'all are living the Old Testament, and we're living the New Testament. Oh, heavenly days. The New Testament, I thought, magnified the Old Testament. And Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law, I come to magnify it and make it honorable. He said, I say unto you that you don't have to, because I had one guy tell me one time, tell you how the Lord works if you'll keep your mouth shut every once in a while. Okay, I'm quiet. So I had this guy. We were talking about the hair and the dress. You know, Deuteronomy 29. We're talking about the dress. And he said, well, that's the Old Testament. I said, well, you know, the Ten Commandments are in the Old Testament too. I said, but we don't do away with either one. We live the way that you're supposed to live. I said, how many times have you seen? We were looking at some old pictures one time from about 1950 backwards. There wasn't a woman with a dress, with a pair of pants on that I saw, except maybe somebody in Hollywood or somewhere like that. I mean, even when the girls went to school, the school pictures, the women had on dresses, man. So what's changed? A doctrine changed somewhere, right? Because it what? Was becoming of the woman to wear her clothes and becoming of a man to wear his. He said, well, now if you're going to live the Old Testament, he said, what are you going to do about if somebody commits adultery? Are you going to take them out and stone them? You know, because that's what they did in the Old Testament. They physically did it. They physically killed people back then. But oh, thank God, we got a Holy Ghost. And it brought back to my memory, Jesus was standing there one day and he said, I say unto you, he said, if you have aught against your brother and you, in other words, you speak against him, you've already killed him. See, so that's the stoning part. He magnified it. He magnified. Jesus stood there and didn't say, now don't stone him. No, you're stoning him with your mouth now. You're not having to stone him with. And remember, Brother Branham even comes up and tells us, he says, look, he said, you kill the influence of a man, you've killed the person. You've killed the individual. Without having to stone him with stones, you kill him by the influence of your mouth. And now what? That magnified the Old Testament. Listen, we have the old and new both together. We know that. But the world, they look at us and they think we live the old. What they don't know is it took the New Testament and the Old Testament to make you and I born again. We didn't get born again just because of the New Testament. It talks about it all through the Old Testament. Come on, people. all the way back from Genesis and Abraham's journey. I was listening to Brother Brown just a little while ago. He said, Abraham, that was the whole journey of a Christian. Was Abraham in the Old Testament. All the way down, we come all the way through those old prophets and different ones. They what? They were given what the Bible says for our example. Yeah. Amen? So that's why we what? Our mind has been renewed. Our mind's been renewed to think those thoughts, not think the thoughts. I was watching, listening to Brother Branham. We were coming home day before yesterday, and he was talking about that tax case. Somebody was, you know, they were beating him on something. He said, if you'll just stay still long enough, he said, God will give you what to say. And he just gave him exactly what to say. And the man said, oh, I'm sorry, Brother Brandon, we won't do that anymore. We won't, you know, get on to you for that. So maybe sometimes we need to just listen instead of trying to. And it's always, it's a, what do they call it? The fight or flight. If somebody says something to you, you go, what? Yeah. Hey, man, come on, somebody. Yeah. Oh, I thought you were disagreeing with me. But that's the first thing we do. What is it? That old nature, though. It's that old you that says, amen? Amen. We want to what? Snap back. Amen. But if we just wait just a minute, the Bible tells us he'll tell us what to say. And you know what? You won't even have to think about what you're going to say. You'll say it. If you'll just stay calm. What? Renewing of your mind. Your old nature wants to get... to not have brotherly kindness, and you want to actually stone the guy or sister with your words. So I said, we're going to be, I just pray in a year we're all different. We all think different, act different. If we're here another year, I want us to act different, think different. Know the leading of the Lord and not have to ask, why are we doing that? But that what happened in the first three church ages? Brother Brown said that one little nod from God. Paul, look at Paul. Now, Paul had brotherly kindness. You know why? There was a woman followed him, and there was a man followed him. And then he talks about this other sorcerer and all that. They had people all around him all the time. And he let that woman, and finally somebody said, hey, how long are you going to let that woman do that? And finally he had enough, and he turned around and spoke to her. And spoke to the people. What? He waited on the Lord to get that nod from God. Just like Brother Branham did with that guy that was going to kill him. And all the different things, you know, he kept calm. Power in control. So that's what we're looking at. When we go through virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, I want us to what? I read the scripture. How to what? Possess. Possess means to control. When you're possessed of something, you're controlled of it, right? Amen. There are some people that are possessed of football and different things, and man, they just go to the extreme. Why can't we go to the extreme for something that's eternal? Yeah. Hey, you don't have to pay $150 to get into these seats. Just saying. But we've come through all this, and we want to see that sanctification, the second stage of sanctification, is what? It's knocking the faults out. Putting that virtue in to where that virtue can come out. To where that knowledge, and it's really Holy Ghost knowledge, not your own knowledge. Man has used their own knowledge and brought what? Creeds, denominations. It has brought death to the church by their own knowledge. They've used their own knowledge by their own words. By their own. Jesus told them, said, I read it a long time ago, where he says, you've made what? The word of God of no effect. Because of your tradition. Amen. Well, what is a tradition? It's a knowledge of, well, we did this, and we did that, we did this, we did that. We're Moses' children. We got Moses' quote book. We got all five of the Torah, right? We've got 1,100 sermons. We have 1,100 different doctrines. Out of those 1,100 sermons, we don't, but it is in the message. Amen? But there's going to be one truth, and there's always just one truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that's what Brother Richard was praying, and in other words, he was talking to us the other day. And he said, Lord, he said, you told me that you would lead me and guide me into all truth. Not just part truth, all truth. And he's held on to that for all these years. I just hope we can hang on. Amen. This is a crock pot, not a microwave. Yeah, but I'm hungry. I want to put it, stick it in the microwave. No, give me a crock pot. Because I want that sanctification. Because watch, before we, I'm trying to back up a minute. Before we get through with this statue of perfect man, remember, there's going to be, Brother Brown said, there's going to be a Holy Spirit that what? In other words, melts down through this, and if there's any cracks, it starts filling them in. Because, Steve, remember, there's still going to be little things that we got to get rid of. This is not a like water filling up, and we're going to try to get all this right here. But now we can't get no knowledge until we get this right here. No, these lines are just what? They're just lines to show the difference. It's not lines to show, because you take virtue, and you still got to have virtue flowing through all this. Brother Brown calls it flowing. All this knowledge flowing, but you got to start here for a foundation, and then get virtue, then knowledge, and they're exactly the way they're supposed to be, and we'll see that when we get started, if that's all right, when we get started on the virtues. Because virtue is what? Virtue is not being a virgin. It's being virtuous. It's where you go and you, if you get in trouble with the Lord, you don't go to the corner convenience store guy and ask him to pray for you. You call Brother Dale. You call Brother Bob. You call Brother Aaron, because you have what? Confidence that they're full of virtue. Now that guy at the corner convenience store is full of something, but it ain't the virtue that you need. Amen? Listen, you're either full of God or the devil. There's no in between, folks. I don't know why we've got this denominational idea that we're all going to go to heaven because we're good people. And that hell's not here anymore. We just all in the message and we're all going. Big deception, folks. Who was it yesterday? No, it was this weekend. Somebody, I can't remember who it was in Ohio, said it scared them to read Anointed Ones at the end time. We were talking to somebody. He said, it scared me. Go read Anointed Ones at the end time. It ought to scare you too. Right. So close. Right. Till it deceives the very elect, if it were possible. So close. Judas and Jesus, right there together. Amen. Nobody knew it but the Son of Man. That's why we got to get to that Son of Man revelation. And then there's a real showdown then. Amen. Brother Brown calls it a Mount Zion showdown. Amen. All right? It's not a Mount Transfiguration. It's not a Mount Carmel. That was a separation. But when you get to Mount Zion, what is Mount Zion? That's Jerusalem sitting on a hill. That's our possession. It separates. Matthew 10 says, he that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross. We were talking about this, remember. There's some that deny the cross or hate the cross, some that come to the cross, and some that bear the cross. Now, you and I, when we start up this statue of perfect man, we're going to be carrying your cross. You're going to be carrying your cross. All right? He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Luke 9, verse 23, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Pick that beam up. Put it on your shoulders. You saw all the world will laugh at me. Praise God. Praise God. I want the world to know I'm different. Not just take up your cross daily, but follow me. Not just take it up, but follow him. And listen, there's a lot of people took up a cross and went to a Father, Son, Holy Ghost. A two-soul doctrine. A this doctrine. Can't get Daniel 70 weeks right. Can't get this right. But there's one truth. There's one cross, and it's his that you have to bear. You have to bear your cross, but we have to follow him. And who is he? In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's the Word of God. He was the walking Word. What are me and you? We're the walking Word. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I want to raise my hands or not. Somebody might say something. I hope they do. I hope they do. I hope they say those people are crazy. Paul said in a way it's called heresy. Craziness. Do I serve God? Hey, 2 weeks ago, if you'd have brought 2 or 3, 4, 5 or 6 denominational people in here, they would have thought we was crazy. Amen? And some of you sit there like a bump on a pickle. What's a bump on a pickle worth? But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. 1 Corinthians 15 says, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. Every day, there's something that you're confronting. Every day, you confront something that you got to make a choice, or God's going to speak to you about something, and you're either going to take it or deny it. Every day of your life. They don't care, even if you're on vacation. Even if you're off somewhere hunting or something. Brother Dale's got some powerful sermons while he's up in the tree. Amen? So he's talking to God. God's talking to him. All of us dummies weren't around to get all of his attention. I said all of us dummies. What are we, though? We're a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. A peculiar people. Thank God. That you should show forth what? The praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Which in times past, look, were not a people. You weren't a child of God when you were doing the things you did in the world. You were potentially there. You were by foreknowledge you were there, yes. But in your humanity, you were lost. Doomed and on your way to hell. Which in times past, you were not a people, but are now the people of God. Which had not, look, obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I just beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul. What? That second realm. Memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination. That's where the lustfulness is. That's where the pride of life, and that's where all that junk that happens in your mind. Because remember, you don't renew the mind of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost don't need to be renewed. It's the Holy Ghost. It's eternal. It's sitting there wanting to fire on all 8 cylinders and you're only giving it a of gas. That's it. And it fires off and goes. No, we want to give it a big tube full of gas. We want to give it what they call the, what do you call a turbo. We want to give it a turbo boost. We want to add all we can in there. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, talking about the world now, that may by your good works, which they shall what? Look and see, glorify God in the day of visitation. Listen, today is our day of visitation. We were visited by a messenger. And we're supposed to be the final voice to the final age of that messenger. So we have been visited. We have had our day of visitation. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. In other words, do right to the people out there. You can't, listen, you can't be high and mighty and you say, well, I'll just separate myself. And remember, Brother Branham got in trouble with God for that. He said, God, I just want to go up in a cave, have long hair and a beard, and just run out and say, thus saith the Lord, and then turn around and run back in. God told him, said, no, I didn't bring you to do that. I brought you to live among these people because they're your people. And you're supposed to teach them, not just run out there and condemn them every few minutes. You got grace involved with this thing. Thank God. Aren't the governors, as unto them they're sent, for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them to do well? I want you to watch. Now, this is where I got my thought about separation or showdown. For look, for so is the will of God. Now, here is the will of God. You want to know what the will of God is? We know it's the Word of God. All right? So the Word of God tells us that with well-doing, you may put to silence. How many of you want to silence the devil? How many of you want to silence that junk in your life? Amen? I'm tired of that thing ringing loud in my ear. You can't do this. You can't do that. You ain't worthy of this. And remember what you did. Remember what you didn't do. But let's burn this scripture in your mind. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As a church, as an individual, the only way to silence a critic is to live the Word of God. You say, well, now, wait a minute. I can get me 52 quotes, and if I can get 52 and this one only gets 42, I've won. No, that ain't it.
Right.
That ain't it. Quotes will kill you.
Right.
If it's not what? Filtered through a life.
Yes.
But we want to put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Guess what happened on Mount Carmel? Hey, folks. Elijah literally silenced those prophets of Baal. I always wondered how one man could take 400 prophets down to the brook Kidron, which is a little old bitty brook, ain't very much big, and he killed them all. He killed them. He didn't just talk to them. He killed them. Well, what he done was, is the congregation that was around him started believing what Elijah said. They saw the fire. They saw what happened to the 400 prophets that cut themselves and jumped all over the place and shouted and spoke in tongues. And old Elijah standing over there going, you might as well talk a little louder. Maybe your God's on vacation. Maybe he's went on a journey and he can't hear what you're saying. He was taunting them. Why? He knew who he was. He knew where he stood. And he knew that God was going to fulfill his promise because he told Elijah. Elijah looked up and said, God, at your word, I'm going to do this. Fire came down and what? It vindicated who Elijah was. But he totally silenced those 400 prophets of Baal. Everybody with me? So we're going to try to now, as a church, as individuals, as people that go to Spoken Word Church, we're going to silence the ignorance of foolish men. How are you going to do it? Let's read. Little babies, got to start somewhere. I got one back there just learning to walk. Now, that had to be Joseph because that's 1953, I would assume, because he said he'd boop, whatever boop means, and fall down, get back up, and he thought he was doing something great. I was that way one day, but now I'm a man. I put away childish things. Now we got to come to full doctrine. I like good old shouting meetings where we clap our hands or shout, have a good time, have great powerful services and things, dance on the bubble as it were. But wait, then when the showdown time comes, you don't know where you're standing. Everybody understand what he's saying? It's kind of hard to follow him, but what he's saying is, he said, I love all this, but when it comes to the showdown, you better know where you're standing. It's not all that dancing and all that. That's good. That's what? That's emotion. That's feeling that comes, what? After we knew what the doctrine was. But wait. Then when the showdown time comes, you don't know where you're standing. Let's get back and find out. Let's find out what's making us do that. Alright? Find out what's making us do that. I found out what was making us do that 2 weeks ago. It was the Holy Ghost. Finally, somebody said, hey, use me. Let's find out what's making us do that. Let's get back to the foundation. See where we're at. Speak to the Rock, 1960. We'll have a meeting like this morning. We were having a meeting there, and the Holy Ghost falling into place, the people screaming, shouting, praising the Lord. Then someone come up and said, pray for me, Brother Branham. I laid hands on him and prayed for him. I said, now go and believe. Now look. Now, here's what it is. It's easy to feel the power of God to see it when you believe. But then when it comes to the showdown, are you able to possess the things that you profess to have? Remember Brother Brown said, it don't matter how high you jump. Said, when you get down, can you walk what you jump for? All right. Are you able to possess the things that you profess to have? Because it's going to be a showdown. To me, that's what Brother Brown's saying. Let out what's inside of you. It's going to come out. You can hold it all you want to, but it's going to blow the top of your head off one of these days, good or bad. That's the thing, brother. We've got to get it. We've got to take it. It's ours, but you'll fight for every inch. Fellowship, 1962. We're all tried. Every Christian, every son, every child that comes to God is tried by the Word to see if you'll be loyal to it. Who's going to try you? God's going to try you. He's going to let the devil loose on you. Don't kill him. Don't touch his soul. But you can have his flesh. Job. Amen? That's what he said. So you can't kill him. That's my job. But you do whatever you need to do. I'm going to prove who he is. That's what's going to happen now. Every child that comes to God is tried by the Word to see if you'll be loyal to it. When the showdown comes, what decision are you going to make? That's it. And he that cannot stand chastisement but goes on with the world, he's an illegitimate child, a bastard, and not a son and daughter of God, certainly not. Now, but the spiritual minded catches the word, look, lines up with it, and the spirit comes down under the shed blood and takes that person. Take me. Take me. If God don't take you, the devil will. There was a near kinsman, remember? Ruth was probably worried there for a little while. Here come Boaz and said, oh, I'll redeem you, Ruth, but I got to go talk to one more. Because there's one nearer kinsman than I am to you, or to Naomi. Right? There's one I got to go talk to. And if he does it, then I got to give it to him. And remember, that was a devil in type. Your flesh, he's got a mark on you because you were born in sin, shaping in iniquity. You came here lost, and he has dibs on this flesh part of you. But when Boaz, thank God, what a mighty God we serve. Boaz said, all right, you going to redeem it? He said, yeah, I'll redeem it. And Boaz said, now, you're going to get the Moabitess too. You're going to get the Gentile. Because remember, it wasn't Ruth that was redeemed. Right. That's right. No. It was Naomi. Naomi was the Jew. She was the one that had lost her property. Ruth had just married in. Oh, praise God. Ruth had married into the family. Right. She was a Gentile, a Moabitess. Hair and a biscuit, Brother Branham said. Yes. We know how Moab started. I don't have to explain that. Read your Bible. Right. But that man, Boaz said, hey, if you take Naomi, you got to take Ruth. And the devil's like, I don't think I want that Gentile bride. I don't want her. I don't even like her. I don't want anything to do with her. So he said, you can do it. Boaz said, okay, I got you. I'm going to kick my shoe off, and I'm going to go to earth. I'm going to kick my shoe off. I'm going to kick my eternal being off for a little while, and I'm going to go down in human flesh, and I'm going to buy them back. And I'm going to buy them all back. I'm going to take Gentiles and Jews back. Devil, you don't have anything to do with this anymore because you have what? Forfeited your right. Thank God when we can put the devil in his place. When God, through us, can put the devil in his place. Let me put it that way. We're no match for the devil, but God inside of us is. It was a paradox. When the Hebrew children were thrown into the fiery furnace. Now, I want you to realize this. This is something that you probably have never thought of, unless you've read this. This paradox. We look at the attitude of that. Wait a minute. Some of y'all are reading that. Don't read that. I saw your eyes looking over there, starting to read it. So these three Hebrew children, you know the story behind them. They said, we're not going to bow to this image. And Nebuchadnezzar said, okay, well, then I've got to do what I got to do. I've done said, if you don't bow down, you're going to go get put into the fiery furnace. All right? Now, when God puts me and you in the same position, what do? We start crying and screaming, and they have to drag us to the furnace. Come on, somebody. Them three Hebrew children said, come on. You know what they got a revelation of? That what was binding them... Come on. What was binding them was the only thing that was going to be burnt off. If you look at it that way, your trials will be that something's going to let you loose. So now let's read the quote. All right. You ready? It was a paradox when the three Hebrew children were thrown into the fiery furnace. How that three men could walk into a furnace so hot that the intense heat even killed the men that were pushing them in. And yet they stayed in that only delivered them. That's the only thing it did. It delivered them from the bonds that they were bound with. Your trial will deliver you from the bonds that you've been bound with. If you'll let it. So you got to go in the fiery furnace. You can't turn and go the other direction. Sometimes in our lives, that paradox repeats. Sometimes you're brought to a showdown where you have to make a decision. You're going to make a decision. God's going to make you make a decision. Amen? This word is going to make you make a decision one way or the other. You have to stand on that decision like they did, and it all works together for the good. What did it do? It never hurt them. It loosed them. Amen. Oh, that's going to, I mean, people standing around the other congregation, standing around going, man, they're going to get just, I mean, they're going to be like fried chicken. They're going to get burnt up. Burnt to a crisp. Seven times hotter. I bet that thing was just glowing. You know how something, when you burn, how it just glows. We used to burn stuff over at June's dad's house, and he had a thing about this high, and we'd get that thing so red hot till you could stick a dry stick on the outside of it, and it would start flaming. That's how. But they heated that seven times hot. So guess what? In the seventh church age, seven times hotter, it's going to be seven times hot on us. But guess what? When they throw us in the fiery furnace, it's going to deliver us. If you'll let it deliver you. It loosed them. Sometimes we're caught in that position. First thing we've got, just like the man drowning in the river. You got to get the man out of the river. I love this. You got to get the man out of the river before you can get the river out of him. Praise God. And that's sometimes what a man has to do is come out, make his stand, get the thing out. Hello, church. Let it out. And get him out of the thing so he can get the thing out of him. Oh, what a quote. Let me read that one more time. What did it do? It never hurt them. It loosed them. Think of that situation, how you turn that thing around. Job probably thought he was in bad shape. He lost everything. He had no kids. He was like Bill Gates at one time. Now he's like Wade Dale. Sitting on an ash heap. Probably sitting on what? His possessions that he used to have. And there were ashes under his rear end. And he got boils on his, scraping the boils off of his skin. Turns around and looks, and there's seven crosses out there in the field for his kids that had died. All of his animals were gone. They had repossessed his cars. But he was in the will of God from the beginning. Because he took it and he stood up one day and he said, I know from all this, there's something good got to come. My Redeemer is going to have to come and bring me out of this. And guess what happened at the end? Remember, Job had twice what he had when he started. Everybody with me? He had twice what he had when he started. Now, you and I need to do the same thing. When we go through a trial, when we get through that trial, and it looses you, you ought to be twice as happy. You ought to be twice as able to praise God. Twice as able to testify. That's right. Sister Frieda, twice as able to do things like that. And that's sometimes what a man has to do is come and make his stand. Get the thing out. Get him out of the thing so that get the thing out of him. That's what preaching will do for you. Now watch. We're going to read this and then we'll stop right here. We'll get the rest of it Sunday. If children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory, which shall be what? Revealed in us. Unless we suffer with him, we cannot reign with him. You have to suffer to reign. Job had to suffer to reign. Jesus Christ had to suffer to reign. Everybody, all the Old Testament prophets, Moses. Moses had to suffer to reign. You say David was one of the greatest kings. Yeah, but he suffered. Remember, he had the affair with Bathsheba, had his best friend killed, and God said, that baby's not going to live because of what you did. So God said, your first child's not going to live. He carried that with him the whole time. The whole time he carried that with him. All down through the time, there's been a flaw. I think Brother Dale preached that one time years ago about all the flaws of the people in the New Testament, Old Testament and New Testament. Paul, listen, Paul took a church like this right here and put them in prison. And made them blaspheme so they would go and be hung or be killed by lions or whatever they were doing back then. He caused that. He said causing them to blaspheme. Don't you think that stuck in his craw the whole time? But it took God to knock him off of a horse. Blind his eyes so he couldn't see. Give him a little light affliction in his whole life to where he could remember what he had done. Remember, he asked the Lord to take it away, and the Lord said, my grace is sufficient. You're not going to die. Not with that. They're going to cut your head off one day, but you're not going to die with whatever that was. Same way with the different ones. Same way with me and you. You have to suffer to reign. Let's stand to our feet. The reason for this is that character simply is never made without suffering. Character is a victory, not a gift. Listen, a victory, not a gift. See, there's gifts of healings, there's gift of wisdom, there's gift of faith, there's gift of speaking in tongues. It's not talking about that. It's talking about your character. Because remember, like I said before, you can speak in tongues and be a devil. Amen? But you can't have the character of Jesus Christ and it be a victory and be the devil. I promise you that. Not a gift. A man without character can't reign. You say, well, reign? What do you mean reign? Listen, you got to reign over yourself. Who's your worst enemy? Your neighbor? Oh, who? Oh, this guy. Yeah, you ain't kidding. Y'all all point up this way. A man without character can't reign. What? Reign over his own position. Because power apart from character. Listen, there's power in these virtues. There's Holy Ghost power in these virtues. And he's not going to give them to you if you're still a baby. Because you'll use them wrong. Power apart from character is satanic. Musicians, come. But power with character is fit to rule. Rule what? Rule over every situation in your life. I told you before, the Holy Ghost does not take away your problems. It helps you deal with them. It helps you do what? Show that it looses you instead of binds you. We think our problems bind us. No. If you'll take it right, your problems loose you. Put me in the furnace, Lord. If I'm bound something, if something's binding me, put me in the furnace. And remember, when they walked out of that, though, they didn't even smell like smoke. God will so clean you, folks. If you'll let him, God will clean you so much. He'll clean the very clothes you got on. If you got on clean clothes. And I ain't talking about clean, worldly clean. I'm talking about dress the way you're supposed to, act the way we're supposed to. You clothe yourself the right way, then God is obligated to start on you with your character. But power with character is fit to rule. And since he wants us to share even his throne on the same, look, on the same basis that he overcame and has sat down in his Father's throne, then we have to overcome to sit with him. The little temporary sufferings we go through now is not worthy to be compared to the tremendous glory that will be revealed in us when he comes. Oh, what treasures are laid up for those who are willing to enter into his kingdom through much tribulation. What does tribulation work? Patience. We'll read that when we get up to there. To patience. But think on these things. Think about God coming on earth in a body of flesh. He walked through life and he was Mr. Perfect. But the world didn't call him that. The world called him Beelzebub. You know why? Because he was so far off of their doctrine of what they thought the Messiah was going to be. Come on, people. They read the same quotes over and over and over. Moses said, this one, and so did Zechariah. Brother Brown said he never came in. He came the same way the word told him, and they could read and read it and read it and read it, that one was going to come virgin born, and one was going to come to do this, one was going to come to do that. What did they do? They took the word that they had and misinterpreted it. Right. That's what our problem is. Misinterpreted theology is what got us in the shape we're in now. Not say us, but yeah, us. We have little things, little foxes that spoil the vine. Right. Little things that we get upset about or we don't handle them. We have to what? Do it over. Listen, you know what you do? You know what you're doing? You're actually tying yourself back up, and you got to go back in that furnace again. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Come on, somebody. You tie yourself back up, and you got to, one more time. Right? Let's burn those things off and get them out of our life. Creating me a clean heart. Let's sing whatever you got. Let's sing. God bless you. We love you. We love the Lord.
There are people all over them. Let's sing.
There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame. When the fire that fell at Pentecost that cleansed and made them clean, it is burning now within my heart. Glory to His name. I'm so glad. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. You believe that? I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Though these people may not learn to be nor boast of worldly fame, they have all received. You received your Pentecost. Because we're going up that statue of perfect man. And folks, this might be the last time we get up it. That we're going to be able to teach it. That was a day when God shut the ark and said, nobody else is going in. Nobody else is getting out. One of them. You read the anointed ones at the end time. You're going to preach to the totally lost. And there's nothing you can do about it. And nothing they can do about it. One of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. They were gathered in the upper room, all praying in His name. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost. What power for service came. Now what He did for them that day, He'll do for you. Believe that? I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Sing it to Him. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Come, my brother, seek this blessing that will cleanse your heart from sin, that will start the joy. Look! It lets you loose. Let those things come off of you, those things that bind you. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Sing it to Him. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Remember when Saturday Bible study, 6 to 8 o'clock. Remember and pray that we'll have a good service. This coming Sunday we'll have communion and foot washing. Remember a couple of Sundays from there, we'll be, Samuel will be preaching for us at the night, Samuel Nahara, if I can get it right. And then the next Sunday, remember, questions and answers for the youth and for the ones that are single. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't feel that I need to answer some questions that maybe Brother Dale could answer. Because like I said, I go so far. If there's questions of couples, then we need to do that some other time. I'm talking about questions from the youth and from the single people. Everybody with me on that? Amen. I mean, you might have a marriage and divorce question or something like that. At this moment, we'll let Brother Dale, we'll talk about it. If you do have a question, please let us know. Don't want to exclude anybody, but I want to include the young people. Because they've always, Brother Bob, Brother Luis, how many good questions have we had from the youth when we were doing that? We had some questions that were just unbelievable. So I want you to write your questions down, give them to me, or either if you want to just slip them in there on the desk somewhere, or if you want to put them in that box in the back there that says, what does it say, tithing and offering, you can slip them inside there if you want to do it where nobody will know who's asking the question. That'll be fine. But we need to answer the questions for the youth. Let the youth have a place in the church. Amen. They are our church. Yeah. Amen. They're our ones that are going to, if we, time goes on, we got some good ones, though. We got some good ones. They're out there. We got some good ones. We got some good ones that are out there that don't know they should be in here. Amen. That's who the ones that we'll be praying for. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thank you for the day, Lord, you give us. We pray now that you be with us on our journey home. We pray that what we've said, Lord, will sink deep in our heart. And we'll know that man is drowning. We got to get him out of the water first before we can get the water out of them. Lord, we got to realize that we're drowning. That's what the prophet was meaning. If we got to realize we were drowning, and somebody's going to help us out, but we got to get that water out of our lungs. We got to get that sin out of our life and all the things that we've done that what the Bible says so easily beset us. So easily beset us that what? We may run this race with patience, looking toward the author and finisher of our faith. Father, forgive us, Lord, of our sins if we said anything wrong against you. We pray that you'd help us, Lord. Be with us now, Lord, as we come to Bible study on Saturday night, Lord, that you'll be with us. Thank you for bringing the brothers home from the men's meeting and giving them, Lord, some good points and good revelation, Lord, to use in their life. We pray, Lord, that they'll be able to share that with us along the way, Father. Lord, everything's done. We want it done for your honor and glory. We want it done, Lord, to forward the kingdom of God and forward the people up that statue of a perfect man. Never trying to go backwards. We're always trying to go forward. Lord, I pray that you'd be with us now. Help us as we end this service, Lord. We pray that you'd just bless the ones that are sick. The ones that are not here, Lord. We pray that you'd save the lost, heal the sick. Fill us all with the Holy Ghost. Give us more, Lord. We want more of you. As the song says, more of you, more of you. How I long to have more of you, Lord. Just be with us now and take care of us in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. With the Holy Ghost and power for service.